What's up, y'all? Welcome to Quarantine with Jesus podcast. We are continuing our series, Dear Christian College Student. Today, we have a special guest, a new face on the podcast, Kayla Copeland, the founder of Meal Tricks and one of the co-hosts of Take Off Your Sandals podcast. How are you doing today, Kayla?
I am doing great. Thank you so much for including me on this important thing you have going on.
Of course. So we're going to get straight into it. So tell us a little bit about yourself, where you grew up.
Cool. So my name is Kayla. I am from Maryland, Prince George's County, Maryland, to be exact, or AKA, some people like to call it the Pretty Girl County. don't make that face. I grew up there my entire life. For undergrad, I went to St. John's University in Queens, New York, where I studied in communications with a minor in psychology and international studies. And then I am currently at Tulane University in New Orleans, Louisiana, getting my master's in public health in international health and sustainable development.
Okay, so did you want to go to college?
Yeah, I did. I mean, there was no other option. I grew up hearing like college or the military or some type of trade. But no, I wanted to go to college. It wasn't really any other path for me, I don't think.
Okay, so why that major?
Well, actually, I started off as a psych major because I wanted to be a forensic psychologist. I was really into that. And then I got to school. It was so boring. And my junior year of school, what's my junior year? No, it was the end of my sophomore year. It was during my sophomore year of school. I'm sorry. I was dating this guy who was a communications major. And he was always doing his homework in my dorm room. And the work just looked so easy and just so interesting. And I was like, I could do this. I was like, this is not hard. And one day I was studying for a psych test. And I was like, sitting on my bed, and I was like, Lord, I can't do this anymore. And I shut the book. And I was like, I'm changing my major. And the next day, I went to change my major to communications, which was actually part of the Lord's plans all along. You know, I thought I was just like changing my ideas, but I think it was God's plan, to be honest. So with communications, I was like, okay, I'll go into like digital marketing or something. And this was around the same time that I was starting up Meal Tricks. So what the great thing about the communications program at St. John's was that it had a lot of different classes. So what I did was tailored my coursework to things that would help me with my business. So whether that was like marketing classes, graphic design classes, speech. So I think I took like a finance class. So I did things that I was like, okay, well, this could probably help me be a better business owner. So that's why I would say God's plans with the communications part, with the digital marketing career, I got that wrong. He actually wanted me in public health. But so, yeah, that's kind of how my whirlwind of major changes happened in college.
So you're in public health major right now, right?
Yes, I'm getting my master's in public health because also God's plan. The Lord wants me to do Meal Tricks full time, which essentially would just be working on providing. What I really think God wants me to do is give people the knowledge and the tools to take back autonomy when it comes to their food choices. Point blank, period. We're being poisoned with our food, with our food system. And I think the Lord just wants to make people aware. And I think that I'm one of the many people that he's burdening our heart to provide people with, you know, informed information. And then there's also some humanitarian work that he's also placed in my heart to do as well with public health.
So how did you like arrive at this conclusion that this is what God wanted you to do?
So freshman year of college, actually. So we're going back a few more years. I was randomly walking to class one day and I had this idea to create an app that did something that I'm not going to talk about here. But I had a friend who was in tech and I mentioned it to him and he was like, oh, this sounds great. I don't know if there's anything out there like this, go ahead and start doing some research and yada, yada, yada. But I was 18. I was like, yeah, no, I'm in college freshman year. Don't know why I would do all of that. So that app was kind of born out of my frustration with trying to eat healthy and trying to wade through the information, the sea of information that's out there. That's kind of where that happened. But that idea kind of, you know, died in the wind. And then my junior year at an internship, my boss and I were talking about things we wish were created to make our lives easier. And I was like, oh, well, freshman year, I had this idea for this app thing. And I was like, and then something just stuck with me right inside. It's like, okay, what is this? And let me just sit with that. But to make this long story very short, again, I went to Bali in 2018 with some friends. And I began to tell them what I wanted to do in life. And they were like, oh, this is public health. And I was like, what's public health? I've never heard of it before. So it was actually just through having a conversation with some friends that they revealed to me, which I believe is entirely a Holy Spirit-led conversation. Like, this is what public health is, and this is what you need to be doing in order to get you to XYZ. Does that make sense?
Okay. That makes sense. So let's get a little bit into your faith. We brought that up a lot. So would you consider yourself to be a Christian?
Yes, I definitely would consider myself to be a Christian.
So how did you come to the faith?
Well, I actually grew up going to church my entire life, but I didn't know Jesus personally. In fact, I also had a very hard time connecting with God. I just thought he was this really mean person who just wanted to punish and kill people who didn't like follow his ideas, follow his like law strictly. And I could never imagine that Jesus would die personally for me. And just do some other things where just seeing Christianity just portrayed in ways that it really wasn't. As a kid also like threw me off where I was like, I don't really know if I could. It just seemed like it was a standard that was just too hard to live up to. So then I got to college in 2016 and I joined this Christian ministry called Eden. And the way that they worship the Lord and talked about Jesus, I was like, I want to know this guy. I want this for myself. This seems obtainable. This seems loving. And then that's where it came to be. I can't tell you what the exact encounter was. I really don't remember, but I do know that it was during my freshman year of college that I was saved.
All right. So give us a comparison. You said you grew up, not really, you had this understanding, like just why, like you didn't believe that Jesus like would die for you personally. And he was like just great mean God. And you get to college and you see, you said the way they worship, like touch you, right? So give us like a, if you can, like a compare and contrast, like what you've seen before that like led to that mindset versus what you've seen in college that was like the aha moment.
Honestly, I just saw religion growing up, to be honest. So I grew up in a single family household, just me and my mother, and then I would go visit my father on the weekends. So my mom was someone who, she wasn't like the religious one that I'm referring to, but we didn't always go to church often. Like I didn't always have to go to church every weekend there. That wasn't really, yeah, that was just that was a different type of, I just didn't have to go to church often. As I got older, you know, it wasn't like the walk that I do now. And mm-hmm. then when I went to my dad's, I think I just saw more religion at work. I saw more of just the harshness of trying to live up to these unrealistic expectations. I also just saw things that I was like, if this is a representation of God, like I'm not really a fan of it. It was harsh and it was mean and it was cruel. Mm-hmm. If I'm being honest. And then I think like with my mom, it was lax. So I experienced two different extremes that I just didn't go together.
Okay. So when you had that moment, in college where you kind of fell in love with how you seen other people worshiping Jesus, was it just like a radical you became a Jesus freak, or was it more like a gradual, like, this is different? So the next time you went, it was
gradual and this is different, I believe. Yeah, I believe it was a gradual, this is different type of experience. I think they made Jesus look cool. This was, I don't know if this, because this was 2016, so this is kind of at least to my knowledge, the start of, you know, the Jesus, more people, just Jesus being a cool person. So that's, yeah, they just made him seem like he was really cool, like he wanted to be your friend, and like they all just seemed like really happy and friendly with each other. And I was like, okay, this seems like I can get with it. But I definitely think it was a gradual thing that, in a way, still didn't really get the, I believe it was gradual for sure.
Okay. So talk to me about this Jesus is cool movement. Go a little deeper.
Oh Lord. I don't really like my memory always like, but I'm trying to think. I don't know. It was more so in the things of like you wearing ripped jeans and wearing boots. And I don't really know if there was like a lot of CCM music being played. Maybe there was, maybe there wasn't, but I don't know. Like just the way that the people carried themselves, they didn't look religious. They didn't have like, and I don't know. Cause we also know like religion is not a bad thing. I want to make that very, very clear. But I think they also were part of this movement of like, I'm not religious. I'm spiritual Christianity. I think we were all kind of like scarred a little bit from our path. I'm not actually think about that. So I do remember in my early times saying, oh, I'm not religious. I'm just spiritual and I'm a Christian. I'm spiritual and I have a relationship with God. And I think it was in a sense, a way to distance ourselves from what Christianity looked like growing up. Because a lot of times it didn't look like what we were experiencing with Jesus. But just more so he wanted to be a friend, and there wasn't a lot of rule, like not a lot of rules, but there wasn't like these harsh rules I think you growing up with. I think the biggest thing that changed me was the dress attire, and just the way they carried themselves. It's just like, I want to be like this.
Now,
if that makes sense.
The dress attire, ripped jeans. Why is I, so you knowing like, you knowing the gospel, what the gospel is, right?
Yeah.
Why, I'm not going to say, like, why was the ripped jeans, like, why did that sell it? Like, what did ripped jeans signify? What did it not signify? Why the ripped jeans?
I was like, this is not how I've experienced church before. You know, you just had to get dressed up and you sat through. It just broke down a barrier where you, it just wasn't stiff. It just didn't feel stiff. And I will also say Eden's worship services, they had Bible studies every Tuesday, but they only did a worship service, I believe, every month. Life changing. First of all, that was the first time I've experienced church in the dark. That's the first time I experienced not a full choir like that. They just had, you know, worship singers. And that's the first time where I literally, like, felt the move of God. In just such a amazing, miraculous way. Now that I really think about it, like that was a time that I really like felt they just, it was even those things, like there wasn't like a platformed altar, even though I'm not like against those, you know, but you know, we met in the cafeteria, in one of the cafeterias of the college, and it was just really friendly and inviting and nice. You know, I think you felt welcoming. You felt like this was a place where you could belong. You could be something. And like I said, I just had never experienced God like that before. I'd never experienced not such a rigid, like church experience, like a church service too. Like their altar calls and call to worship at the end of the service were just always super moving and just crying out to the Lord. It was like, it was beautiful. I hope this is answering your question.
No, it's answering the question. It just, the reason I'm asking these questions because it really makes me think, because like whether, like we notice, like whether you're in the suit, whether you're in ripped jeans, go to a Baptist church, no matter like what type of denomination it is, like the gospel, like the message should be the same, right? But
yeah,
for a lot of us, for me too, because this was kind of like my one of the reasons, one of the ways that like I like started taking God seriously too, was seeing the way like pastors dress, like Stephen Furtick. Like I watched one of his sermons, I'm like, yo, I never seen a pastor like just like dress like a regular, yeah, like a regular person, feel me? And then like it made me like want to listen to his messages, and that aided my relationship with God also. But I guess like I'm trying to hit on the point and like just like go deeper into the concept of like as humans, like why have we like our shortcomings, like the way we handled God's church and his people, like it's almost as if like we made like this like old systematic, like we, it's like we made like the systems and the buildings, like it's like we made everything else but Jesus like be the representation of the church. So then when the generation rises up, that doesn't like, that's not like their style. They attribute it like to Jesus, so they reject Jesus. But then you find something that is your style and it opens you up. Like it opens you up to like finding like the real Jesus. So I guess like I'm trying to like, I want to hear your thoughts on like why has humanity gotten to this point? Like the church gotten to this point where like the system is more prevalent than Jesus, if this question makes sense.
It's a great question. I think there's not one solid answer to that, to be honest. But I will say that I think like it's safe. I think when you have a bunch of things to adhere by, a bunch of measures, I think it probably always didn't start out like that. I think that as spirits crept in, it became more toxic. Like, I don't think there's anything wrong with getting dressed up for church. And I think to a certain extent, when you, I think especially when you think about like the Black church, where that even stemmed from, and like their Sunday best, and that sometimes was like the only best item in their closet. And there was this reverence, I think, of the Lord and this desire to want to look their best for Jesus. And I think there's a beauty in that. But I think when you have a lot of when your gates aren't guarded, when there's breaches in the walls, then you allow spirits to get in and to then corrupt it. And now what you just did wanting to honor the Lord is now became in this controlling factor, this controlling system. I think that there is a lot of times, a lot of beauty in the things that the church wants to do, but I think it's just become corrupted. I don't think that means to get rid of it. I think it means to just drive out the spirits that controlled it. I think that's just where it is. I think it felt safe to it. I think it's just out of a lack of not guarding and safekeeping those things. Because I think that our best for the Lord will always fall short. So I think a pastor in ripped jeans and a pastor in a suit or a pastor in a robe is still going to fall short of the glory of God. It's just about his heart's intentions and his purity. I want to say that because what I don't want people to do, especially because there's going to be a lot of young people listening to this, is to think that like, at least for myself, that I'm so like against those things. I'm not. I'm just against them being more important than Jesus or them just being corrupted. Because even when we were having a conversation with a friend about the Catholic groves and he was explaining to me like what they all mean, it was like I could understand like why you did this. Yes, it's now being corrupted and turned into like just prideful thing and arrogance. But the original intent of the collar, of the burgundy robes, of the hat, like those are beautiful. They just wanted to honor Jesus. So I just think, you know, when you just don't guard yourself or guard your church, those things become corrupted.
Yes, yes, yes. I agree with everything you said. And I wanted to touch on this too, because like one thing that I realized is that something that I was starting to do, like when I like was coming to God, is that like I began like because I discovered like this new like way of like loving Jesus and having church, it made me like scoff at like anything that wasn't that. And then what we don't realize is that like we can end up making the same mistake that, you know, the people that came before us have made, right? And the number one like underlying principle that like that mistake is, the only thing that mistake is just simply like removing Jesus from the center. There's nothing wrong with the suits. There's nothing wrong with whatever clothes you wear, whatever sound system you have. But if Jesus is not at the center, you're bound. Your church is bound to be corrupted. Your movement is bound to be corrupted. Your religion, your faith is bound to be corrupted. Yeah. And the reason that why that is so important is because we know, because we like, and I'm pretty sure we're going to like, there's going to be people in our generation. We're going to fall into that same trap. This is the new look now. You know, sweatshirts, Maverick City, CC and whatever style, like, you know, coffee in church. Like, this is the new thing per se, right? Mm-hmm. But if we're not careful and making sure that, like, Jesus is the center, that the gospel is the center of every message, every movement, every event, bringing souls and edifying the church is not the center of everything we do, then we're going to create a generation that our kids are going to look and just think that church is just coffee and sweatshirts and
two lights
and soft music. And then like, it's just like, so we just have to make sure that Jesus is the center. And that is how we judge everything else. We don't judge it based off our preferences. We don't look at the pastor in the suit and just assume he's fake because he has a suit on. We don't assume that he's fake just because he's hooping or he's praise dancing. Like you said, it's the condition of the heart. Like, where is Jesus? If Jesus is there, Jesus is pleased.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So where would you say you are at right now in your faith?
I am in love with the Lord. I'm completely dedicated to him, but like, I think at the same time, like still, I think battling religion, like the religious spirit, if I'm being honest, I think that's where my biggest like battle is. But completely in this thing, 110%, you know, just wanting to be better every day at it. But then even that, I think it's also sometimes problematic. Mm-hmm. That's where I am today. I think just still wanting to, but I think that also just deals with like other things from my past of like still wanting to perfect this thing, even though you can't really perfect it, but I am trying. I am in the sanctification process of working out my soul salvation.
All right. So in these past, it's been 5 years since your freshman year.
I believe so, or 6 years.
6 years. So it's past 6 years. Everything that you've known, everything that you've been through, the ups and downs, the encounters, the revelations, the valleys, everything that you went through in this walk, that you discovered, that you experienced in this walk, and also just in life in general. And being, if you were to go back to college, that freshman year again, from the very start, right out of Caleb, first time on St. John's campus, with the knowledge and the maturity and the wisdom that you have now, how would you navigate college differently? Or what would you do differently, or what would you not do differently? What would you do more of, or what would you do less of?
Great question. I think the easiest one is dating. Like the first one I could give you and the shortest response would just be dating. I think I wouldn't have, if I know what I know now, I don't know if I would have dated the people I dated, because they were just like not good for me. and they only played on my trauma. Not necessarily like them on, well, I don't know, whatever. They only played on my trauma. Not really helped it. And I really was put myself in a lot of situations where I wasn't really being valued, respected, or seen. And so I think I just wouldn't have settled in that sense. I think I would have just listened to the Holy Spirit more when he was saying, when signs were revealed from the very beginning, like, this person is not good for you. Mm-hmm. So I think that's one. And then another one that I'm like conflicted about is, I don't know if I would have joined my sorority. And I'll say the reason why I don't know if I would have joined it is because, knowing what I know about the spiritual consequences of that, I don't really believe that that's something I should have did. Or just even some of the trauma that I went through was just like not necessary. But then on the flip side, there's confliction, because also some really great experiences and people came out of that. But I'm also like, I don't know if I would have met you if I would have never did this. I don't know if I would have ever had this experience if I never did this. So that one is super interesting, because like, that's a really interesting one. I think those are probably the most things that I would have maybe just done differently. Is I think everything else, you know. Those were the bigger things. If you say, well, like, what shaped my college career, I think those two were like the primary things, was who I was dating and my extracurricular activities.
Okay, so let's dig a little deeper into these topics. But before, the purpose for the viewers and the listeners, the purpose of this question, It's not more so of like, you know, God does all things well. But the purpose of this question is looking back and trying to see like what mistakes we think we made and what wisdom can we draw out of that to pass on to the next generation who doesn't have to make the same mistakes when they enter college. So that's the purpose of this whole conversation. So let's start with dating. You said you wouldn't have dated the people that you dated because they you realized it. It was just pulling on your traumas pulling on your traumas, right? So now my question is, like, what is the difference maker? Like, what is the difference maker like that? What do you have now or know now that would not allow that? Like, what makes that not acceptable? Like, what makes that a turnoff now?
Just understanding like the value that I guess like the Lord places on me. Like, if we're being honest, because these are college, I'm just gonna be honest, you know. There's a lot of people that I gave like my body to. Not a lot, I'm sorry, child. I am so sorry. That's not true. There are people I gave my body to that should have never had access to it. They didn't value it. They didn't know it. They didn't love it. I think that was one of the biggest things that I really, really regret. And now knowing the value that the Lord places like on sex, and not just like, oh, you can't have sex until you're married. You can't have sex until you're married because you just can't. And I will say my mom, like, actually, no, told me, like, why. I'm not even going to know. My mother actually did a very good job of trying to, like, not have me do that. But I didn't get it until afterwards. But now knowing just how sacred our bodies is, how important sex is to the Lord, just the ties and the bonds that are made of that, I wouldn't have done that. It just wasn't worth it. It wasn't worth the pain. It wasn't worth the suffering. It wasn't worth me just tying myself to the wrong people. I think that would be the biggest thing. And then understanding that a lot of those people were reflections were I was looking for love in the wrong places. I had daddy issues where my relationship with my father growing up just wasn't the best. So there was a void there that I was consistently trying to fill, but with the wrong people, and they weren't God. And I just think that I've been picking people who were more so only going to make that void, who didn't know how to carry me. I dated a lot of people who dropped me. I'm actually super used to just people dropping me. And so I think just having that knowledge that this is the type of people that you are picking, and you are picking people who didn't know how to carry you, I would go back to younger Kayla and I would be like, all they're going to do is hurt you.
Okay. So let's stop right here. You talked about, filling a void and the value of your body. Those are the two, like, driving principles that would have made you not do what you did in college, make the mistakes that you made in college. So what has the Lord spoken to you or shown you throughout, like, these years about those two things, about valuing the body and, like, that fatherly void that you had that makes that situation change?
Yeah. I think for the body part was definitely just scripture, like actually reading and studying the Bible and just hearing, like, and just like, I think through revelations through that, really reading for myself about, you know, how your body's a temple for the Holy Spirit, just feeling those callings on the Lord to just like live a life that was pleasing to Him. And just learning about like soul ties and like just the spiritual connections with sex. I think so, just like within studying scripture for the body part and allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to me. And I think through therapy and through just crying sessions with the Lord, revealing why I was doing that. So I think also just realizing that I was doing that for the wrong reason. And I wanting to be loved and stuff. And I think for just the dating thing in particular, I don't know. I think hindsight just being 2020 for the most part, I think when you look back, you're like, whoa, why did I ever like do that? Like that was just not God's best for me. Like, I think again, just learning more about scripture, learning more of God's desire and then through therapy, seeing how these people played on my daddy issues. Like, yeah, no, like I should have never went there with you. And just realizing too, like the Lord was the only one big enough to carry all of my mess.
What does that mean? That the Lord is the only biggest, like what has He done or said to you, or what have you learned about Him that has, you know, made that true? I made you come to that conclusion.
I'm sorry, because it had broken up. You're saying what about the Lord? And led me, like, what about the Lord led me to realize,
like, what that? Have you learned about the Lord? Like, what, like specifically, like, what scriptures did you read? What encounters did you have that made you come to these conclusions?
I think things like, I'm thinking about, like, where God says, like, before I formed you in your mother's womb, like, I knew you. Like, the things, like, where He says, like, I know the number of hairs on your head. I think just even two personal things that He, like, within prayer, where He spoke to me and was just, like, you know, you weren't supposed to, like, go through that. And just understanding that, like, His love is what I was looking for all along. I think those type of things were made more so revealed, like, within prayer. And then I think just realizing that I was dating people who didn't have a relationship with God and were never striving to. And I think realizing that was important to me, like, just the standards that happens when people have a bigger person to answer to that's not just you. like when they have God to answer to, like there's an accountability there that's, you know. So I think a lot of that was probably just like through personal revelations, through like times in prayer of just how like bad these things were for you. But I just think that just more so like knowing God's heart for me, and his desire for me to just like not be in unnecessary pain was just one of those bigger, was those biggest things. I would say, thank you, Holy Spirit. 'Cause I'm like, Lord, I don't know. One of the biggest life-changing things for me was Michael Todd's Relationship Goals series.
Dude, that went crazy.
Yes. When that first, and like I'm talking about the first one he did, not the part two, but the very first ones, that is what changed me. So I would recommend just watch all of those guys, because that is what really opened my eyes up to like the value of things. I also like dealt with people who just like, yeah, that relationship goal is what really was like, okay, this is what dating means. Like, this is what the Lord places the value on these things. And this is what happens when you don't have the, when you don't have the right containers and the right coverings and stuff. So that, yeah, that sermon series, I watched it like multiple times, was a truly a turning point in my desire to like change how I live for God.
Okay. So what is one principle like that you believe that you could give a college student just to keep them in line with God during their time in college, or going towards like, or want, makes them want to pursue God more when they're having tough times?
Great question. I think that he's just the only one that's like big enough to carry what you need him to, what you're going through. I think that it can be difficult because God is a spirit and he's not someone that is going to be sitting like in the way that I can see Kashawn and Kashawn can see me right now. And it's a little bit more comforting because, you know, humans, our eyes were very perspective like that. But knowing that like the Lord is really the only one that can comfort you in the way that you need to be comforted. He's the only one that truly knows you. I think college is a lot of you figuring yourself out. I mean, you still figure yourself out afterwards. That's a lot of figuring yourself out, especially if you go to college out of your state, or out of your town or whatever. It's a lot of just meeting new people and new ideas and wondering like, how do I navigate this? And like, God is the only person who can like help you through that. And he's the only one that cares enough to help you. That's the biggest thing. God really cares a lot more than we could, like a lot more than your best friend, a lot more than your roommate. God cares. God cares. God will, is the only one, like not the only one, but when you are realizing beyond a shadow of a doubt, who wants to see me win? God wants to see you win. And I'm not saying that your parents may not, or your friends may not, but I'm just saying that if you want to know who's truly rooting for you 1,010%, 24/7, day and night, no matter what you do, no matter what you do to them, God. God is the only one that if you do him wrong, he won't shut the door in your face when you come back crying. He won't. He is the one that is going to be there no matter what. For no matter what you need, he is there. And then another piece of advice, because your first question was like, well, how do they keep going? It's just like day by day, moment by moment. Little effort by effort matters. For the Bible says that in the script, like when we draw to close to him, then he draws close to us. Like moment by moment. Just take it day by day. You don't have to be perfect for him. I'm still learning that, but you don't have to be perfect for him. You don't have to memorize all the scriptures out there. You don't have to know the latest worship music. Even if all you knew is one song that you sang every day to Jesus, I promise you, he would treat it like it was the first time he heard it. That's how much he cares. That's how easy this walk is. That's how easy it's supposed to be. Day by day, moment by moment, you don't have, like, he just wants you. He just wants your heart. And if you draw yourself to, all you have to do, like, even the prodigal son, when the father saw him coming from afar off, he ran to his son. When you turn your head to the Father, that's it. He's like, okay, I'm coming. All you did was turn your head. All you did was say, God, and then you can throw your sentence out. And he's like, yes. Like, that's how much he, like, desires to know you. That's how much. Like, one thought, one breath about him. And he's like, what? I'm here. What'd you say? Like, that's how easy it is. And then I want to say one more thing that someone advised me to do when I wanted to spend more time with God, because everybody on college campuses have their headphones in 24/7. So what somebody told me they used to do was pretend they were talking on the phone, but they would just be praying. So while they're walking from class, they would be talking to God and people would just think they were on the phone. So if you think about even things like that, like, that's how easy it is. Lord, that class was so annoying. That teacher really got on my nerves. Or God, did you see how well I did my presentation? Like, stuff like that. And he will respond. And then over time, your conversations with him will grow longer and bigger. Or even they still might just be small. And it's okay. But, like, start small. Like, Lord, that test kicked my butt. And that's what, Lord, this food in the cafeteria is nasty today. Oh, God, I don't know what I should eat. What you think I should eat, Holy Spirit? And he might be like, oh, I don't know, go grab a snack. I don't know. You know, he'll tell you, like, that's the thing. God is so cold out. Should I wear my red boots or my blue boots? You know, stuff like that. Like, he's going to respond to you. I promise you, he will respond. And he will tell you, wear the blue boots, because he feel like you look nice in blue today. I don't know.
Wow, that's good. That's good. So one last question, and this is for you. And from the bottom of your heart, I want you to, you know, think about all you went through, the things you went through in your life, the pitfalls, the moments, the crying, the sadness, the thoughts of giving up. You're still here. You're still pursuing God. And like you said earlier, you're 110% in. Why? Why Jesus? Why are you still choosing Jesus?
Because my life doesn't make sense when he's not there. Literally, excuse me, my life is pure chaos when I am not grounded with God. I have like a lot of different situations about that one. So life makes sense when he's there. I'm at peace when I know that I'm walking within his will. It's like there's just literally no other road for me. There's just like no other option. We were having a conversation too, like, you know, about what would we be doing if we weren't Christians. And I was like, I don't know, I'd probably still kind of be a Christian, maybe just more of a lukewarm one. Because I don't have a life if God's not directing it. I don't want a life if God's not directing it. That's just me.
Wow. Kayla, thank you for coming on this podcast. Thank you for sharing your some of your testimony, some of your story with us. Thank you for the wisdom that you shared. Tell us a little bit about how we can keep up with meal tricks and take off your sandals.
Yes. So you can follow Meal Tricks on Instagram at Meal Tricks, MEALTRICS, or I have a website, www.mealtricks.com. You can subscribe and stay in the know with latest news and information. Take Off Your Sandals is at Take Off Your Sandals on Instagram. We are also on the United Youth's YouTube page, and then everywhere you can stream podcasts, you can also stream Take Off Your Sandals. And we are, we release episodes every fourth Friday of the month.
Okay, okay. Thank you all for listening to today's episode. Make sure you follow Quarantine with Jesus on Instagram at Quarantine with Jesus. Make sure you DM us, comment what you thought about this episode. Questions, any college students out there, any questions you may be having, struggles you may be going through, you just want to reach out, talk to someone, want some advice or something, DM us, let us know in the comments. We love you all. Thank you all for listening. We'll see you guys on the next episode.